Okay, can we get started, please? Welcome, welcome everybody. Okay, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
Wow.
We got a new system, so you might have to
get some feedback.
It'll
here.
Capture everything.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay. It is my privilege and honor to introduce our first executive director for the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council, who will be chairing today's and the future's meetings, Dr. Adam Effler.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome, Adam.
Welcome.
You know, we thought the last director, didn't the last director bring donuts?
Apparently I forgot donuts. My apologies. Please bear with me as I act as a moderator for the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council for the first time. I'm still putting names with faces. I've been working on introducing myself to the various agencies and partnering groups the Watershed Management Council will be partnering with to advance our collaboration moving forward. I'd like to start by making a motion for an approval of the agenda.
Move.
Second.
And approval of minutes from the February 26th, 2019 meeting.
Move it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, everyone got it?
All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, I would like to offer up the podium for public to be heard, please. Okay, no one today. All right, I'm going to start with a director summary just to get us going. I'd like to say as executive director, it's my great pleasure to help lead the council and coordinate activities intended to help protect and restore the Owasco Lake watershed in support of a cleaner lake resource. I want to thank the many volunteer government and agency leaders who have stepped up to develop, lead, and guide the council thus far. I hope partners will continue to provide guidance and enthusiasm for upcoming project collaboration with the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council. Beyond my own personal, administrative, and onboarding tasks, I want to touch on activities and project initiatives we've worked on since I started about 2 weeks ago. First off, I will be sharing an office space in the administrative section of Cayuga Community College with Aula partner Dave Carr. My office room number is R302. Watershed specialist Drew Snell and I have toured the watershed together, and he has given me some sense of what he looks for in identifying problem areas within the watershed, as well as sharing some targeted strategies that he would like to see going forward. I've read through the most recent and near final draft of the watershed rules and regulations, a regulatory document with input and authorship from several different partnering groups. The final draft will be discussed at a city council meeting at Memorial City Hall on March 28th, 6 p.m. for those of you who would like to attend and share your thoughts. The Aula organized March to Lake Day Symposium was a great success with a mostly full audience. Dr. John Halfman presented research demonstrating substantial nutrient phosphorus concentrations and loading estimates from watershed-sourced lake tributaries. Dr. Robert Howarth showed that nutrient nitrogen concentrations play an important role in contributing to the toxicity of the cyanobacteria blooms, yet phosphorus is still limiting and should be targeted. He also explained that many of the watershed nutrient management controls for phosphorus also work for nitrogen. Dr. Kim Schultz presented on evidence that quagga mussels may have an important influence on cycling of phosphorus at the lake bottom and limiting phosphorus burial. This was an important indicator that harmful algal blooms are likely a culmination of many influencing factors, potentially not only new nutrient impacts, but perhaps legacy nutrient impacts as well. DEC Hub's Anthony Prestigiacomo presented on the seasonally, temporally, and spatially intensive sampling strategies of the New York State DEC that they're implementing to target hotspot nutrient and sediment areas. Aula is working collaboratively with the New York State DEC Hub That was especially helpful in guiding updates to their 2019 sampling QAP. That's a quality assurance project plan for those of you who don't know what a QAP is. Okay. But by the way, Dana Hall of the Owasco the Owasco Watershed Lake Association shared with me their QAP that was already submitted for 2019 sampling efforts. Sampling results from AWLA's work, along with sampling efforts by the DEC Finger Lakes Hub, should help identify priority management areas for our protection and restoration efforts. And AWLA's volunteer tributary sampling will certainly help advance the DEC's scientific research. I am particularly interested and excited about the DEC's work towards mapping blooms to develop relationships with watershed nutrient hotspots. Here I'll make a pitch for an upcoming educational opportunity. The Community Science Institute presents Water and Community, Nutrients in the Watershed, Unusual Weather and Harmful Algal Blooms, a public conversation. This will be held Saturday, March 23rd from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Inns of Aurora, 391 Main Street, Aurora, New York. And I believe you can see Michelle Wunderlich for information or flyer ideas for audiences for further flyer distribution. Since I have been onboarded, I have heard from multiple parties that the impressive nature and extent of partner collaboration in this community for watershed improvements for a healthier lake. A list of priority ideas has been compiled that includes multi-partner and organization involvement to take to Albany to request funding support. I believe that you all have a flyer that Ed passed around. Okay. The priority list includes acquiring and conserving lands within the watershed to protect and maintain existing buffers before increased subdivision and land conservation impacts these functioning systems. Maximizing coordination and equitable allocation of resources through the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council in order to leverage available staffing to complete the projects listed. The implementation of agricultural environmental management tier resource management plans to reduce sediment and nutrient runoff on crop and alternative farms. And AEM tier 3A nutrient management plans for non-CAFO beef and dairy operations. Next, to perform a pilot study to evaluate the phosphorus removal efficiency of stormwater management techniques in locations such as the discharge of agricultural swales and tile lines. And then lastly, as part of this priorities list, alternative water quality improvement projects that will remove nutrient concentrations. This includes weed harvesters. Okay, so bear in mind with phosphorus, Phosphorus is a mass loading issue. It does not change state the way that nitrogen does. And so removing phosphorus to the lake is going to have to do with evaluating priority phosphorus pools and figuring out how we can remove that mass from the lake. My involvement in the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council project discussions thus far, primarily with the Owasco Lake Watershed Inspection Program, AWLA, the Nature Conservancy, County Planning, County Health Department, and the DC Finger Lakes Hub were as follows. We're looking towards advancing road ditchment improvements, and AWLA looks to support an active hydro seeding campaign with partner support for guidance and implementation. Working towards reclassification of the Owasco tributaries to AA to support more stringent regulations to protect tributaries and the lake resource. This reclassification will likely support more stringent watershed rules and regulations. And also, a feasibility study for septic improvements in flood-prone areas in Indian Cove and related pre- and post-construction monitoring plans. I have some specific ideas, and as I've been brainstorming, that I would like to bring up now, sort of new ideas moving forward, and we can discuss more on this as we move along. I personally plan to reach out directly to the agricultural community to learn and consider how we can best collaborate with an ability to incentivize farmers to help us better protect our drinking water resource, especially from non-point pollution. I would like the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council to support the formation of a farmer-led advisory council specific to Owasco Lake, governed by farmers to help other farmers implement best management practices that have shown demonstrated successes. Next, I see the expansion of restoration work and efforts to improve resiliency in the Owasco Lake Flats as a good place to move forward for the time being while we continue to encourage community buy-in for similar restorative work on more privately held lands. I can envision improved hydraulic and stream dynamics designs within the flats that supports a new model that encourages natural stream course meandering and encourages the use of the floodplain for enhanced resiliency. I can envision an Owla populace-led planting and community planting event in strategic areas within the flats, all as part of a momentous outreach campaign. Sycamore trees and shrub willows have been successfully used for riparian work in similar flood-prone areas. For review, at a basic level, the science is clear that receiving water bodies from forested watersheds tend to demonstrate reduced effects of non-point source nutrient runoff. Now, at the bottom of the agenda, and before we move forward, I'd like to review our previously identified goals and a subsequent expansion of said goals. Take a look at the bottom of the agenda. So goal number one, we have the goal of increasing participation of additional towns on the council by two municipalities. That's something that I haven't moved forward yet, but that's something that we're looking to do still in 2019. Community outreach. Something that was identified earlier is we want increased awareness of the boundaries of the watershed through signage. And I know that Drew has been a big part of getting that project mobilized. Was it last year, a couple years back, he started implementing using those signs along the creeks. Also, the distribution of the buffer in a bag application to residents. From what I understand, this is readily available and funded. So as we move forward with our outreach campaign, I see that there is some potential, we can discuss this further, to distribute these applications for people who would be interested in moving forward with buffering their lands. Continue to look for funding opportunities. We are now working well in collaboration for funding and partnership among agencies, right? So we all need to make sure that we're not all competing for the same grants, that we're working together to get grants that we can use to administer improvements in the watershed. Further, we need to work with the town's elected officials and highway superintendents and Cayuga County Soil and Water to improve ditching practices. Dana Hall encourages discussions with Owla following this meeting regarding the group's support for ditch hydro seeding. We need a prioritized action plan put in place for that work. Partners would include the highway department and Owla and others, and there are obvious gradient concerns for implementation, where we could really use engineering guidance to make sure that those efforts are not being wasted with hydro seed ending up in the lake. Part of that has to do with timing. By reducing runoff concerns during major rain events during the hydro seeding application and stabilizing hydro seed with thick hay and mulch. Further, we're looking to participate in the ongoing New York State DEC harmful algal bloom monitoring and surveillance program, the purpose of which is to develop mitigation strategies. So we have Owla's 2019 sampling plan, and Owla and the Owasco Lake Watershed Management Council are working in collaboration. I've offered to deliver the samples to UFI, the Upstate Freshwater Institute. That is the laboratory that typically runs the samples. And I am Syracuse-based, and I'll be heading that way anyway, so I'm happy to do that when it makes sense to do so. Also, Dr. Halfman's monitoring strategy is going forward, and I believe he's here today. Is he here? Hello. So I've been considering what the Watershed Management Council might have in terms of interest in targeting the monitoring and prioritizing sub-basins for the protection and restoration efforts that we plan to do moving forward. So we've looked at the tributary loads and fluxes, and they offer valuable first-order priority information. I propose using a land surface area weighted loading estimate or concentration from trips. And for example, This is moving from trip-specific loading rates to trip-specific loading per square foot within a sub-watershed. For instance, we know the inlet discharges the greatest load of phosphorus relative to other tributaries and is the largest sub-basin, but we don't necessarily know it's the greatest load to, relative to the sub-basin size. And that may be true, that may not, but I think that there could be some value here in terms of identifying sub-watersheds that are priority watersheds, right? Another example is we may have higher nutrient concentrations, thereby loads in a smaller watershed, and that might be an identifier that there is a problem there. We're working towards revising the Owasco watershed rules and regulations. There may be changes based on potential stream reclassification, according to the New York State DEC. We're moving forward with that. Nevertheless, Steve Lynch will update us on the rules and regulations as we move along with our agenda. We plan to continue to move forward with restructuring the oversight and guidance for the watershed inspection program. There is a case for renaming the watershed inspection program, and we're looking into what that name change could be. I'm not sure, and this is something that I believe Aileen's going to help us look into, but I had suggested the inspection authority, and I don't know if there are potential issues or hoops related to that particular naming convention. Yet, Drew and I, as well as the council members, believe there is need for the name change for the enforcement and guidance that will be required by the inspection program under the newly proposed watershed rules and regulations. Okay, so the watershed inspection program is going to have a very heavy hand in implementing enforcement and potential violations, and so we want them to carry the weight of that. Next, work with the DEC Finger Lakes Hub in reducing nutrient loads and harmful algal blooms, and again, lastly, continuing to monitor the lake to assess water quality. So that's a review of those were our previous goals all the way back from 2018. With some modifications for 2019, okay. Does anyone have any questions before we move forward on the agenda items? If you have a questions, any questions for me specifically, please feel free to approach me after the council meeting, okay. Next is the treasurer's report. If Joan is available to review that.
As of February 28, 2019, we have $182,447.55 in our checking, and our total assets are $233,057.55. Does anyone have questions on this?
Okay, moving forward. Okay, let's make a vote. Let's take a vote here. Motion.
A motion to accept the treasurer's report.
A motion to accept the treasurer's report.
Second.
Thank you. And a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Thanks for bearing with me on this.
Thank you, doing great.
So then, treasurer's report approved. So let's move forward on the update and on rules and regulations and revision from Mr. Steve Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Executive Director, and welcome. Just briefly, we do have a meeting planned for the joint boards of the Town of Owasco and the City and the Auburn City Council here in this room on Thursday, the 28th of March. That's a week from this Thursday at 6 p.m. We will do a presentation that does not necessarily focus on the details of the rules and regulations, but really highlights the process for the public rollout of those to stakeholders, to the general public, and to the elected officials going forward from here. So we will talk about the work that's been done, how it was accomplished, what is involved in bringing it out to the public, and we'll highlight some of the major areas that the proposed watershed rules and regulations focus on. We will not have the public facilitator with us at that meeting from Consensus Building Institute. However, that individual will be with us as we start the stakeholder groups. I believe the stakeholder groups, I'm looking over at my staff, I believe they're going to be on the 8th and the 9th. Not sure which one we're going to do first, the agricultural stakeholder groups or the Lakeshore Property Owners Lake Association stakeholder groups. Those stakeholders, I will mention to you, are individuals that signed up as stakeholders at the very kickoff of this project in 2017. Clearly, just because of the way this has been worked on by staff and the steering committee over the intervening 18 months or so, it's been some time since we've had real public outreach beyond some memorandums out to groups. We will try to advertise this as much as we can. We look forward to re-engaging with the stakeholder groups in April, and those will be followed by general public meetings. The general public meetings, we have some dates that we're trying to confirm relative to the availability of the facilitator from the Consensus Building Institute out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. And once we have those, we will certainly circulate those dates widely. So we look forward to being here a week from this Thursday and getting the ball rolling on the public rollout. Thank you.
Steve, are you looking to have the council approve and the town approve the draft plan before it goes out, or just more for informational purposes?
That was not the plan. We're not looking for them to approve at this point. Basically, this what the process is that the steering committee is going to go out and finish the project, finish the draft rules and regulations by going through the public rollout process and then coming back to the drawing board. Once they go through that process, they could finalize the draft and present those to the town board and the city of Auburn, and then the city of Auburn and the town board will have the opportunity to assess the rules and regulations and see if there's any changes that they wish to make, because after all, they are adopting it as the water purveyors responsible for the watershed. Thank you, Ed. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, so let's please move forward with a priorities committee update with Eileen O'Connor. Thank you, Eileen.
I think at this point the priorities committee has finished their work. We worked to put together those priorities that are in front of you. I think the next step is a plan on how to take these priorities to try to get funding. And I don't know if that's something that you want to take the lead on. I know that Seth has been having some discussions with some people on how to maybe move this forward. But I think the next step is the reaching out part. So I think the priorities committee work is done at this okay. at this point. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Eileen. Does anyone want to share any input on what they've read of the priorities? Thank you, Seth.
So just one item to note here. As far as the priorities roll out, one of the things that I was thinking in the back of my mind is, you know, at the same time as we go to Albany and make a push from a political standpoint, folks like myself and a lot of the staff that helped develop this, it's kind of outside of our element. I don't mind going, but I thought in parallel to that effort, we should reach out to you know, directors of state agencies and coordinate a meeting. So I did have a discussion with the Region 7 director, Matt Marco, and he is working on developing a few dates the first couple of weeks in April for us to go to Syracuse and sit down with technical staff that can help point us in the right direction as far as grant funding streams that may be available. all other folks do their thing in Albany from a political standpoint. So
that's a great idea. Right. Thank you, Seth.
Yep.
Okay, I don't believe Tony is here today from the Hub. Tony Presa-Giacomo is not here today. So we'll move forward. Please, with the watershed inspection report by Mr. Drew Snell. Drew Snell?
Yeah. May I ask for a skip?
Yes.
John, while I set this up?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
John, are you available for the lake level report, please?
I am, yes. Okay, kind of give an update of where we are, how we're handling things moving forward. I've had a few comments, a couple emails this morning. People are getting a little nervous at the rate of rise. So the email I sent out last week, when we had, last Friday is the date you start to let the lake go up. With the warmer weather and the melt we had last week, we thought it was a good idea to use some of that to start to fill the lake because, you don't have any more snow, no snowpack in the watershed. We're not looking to keep shooting up towards 712, but we are going to let it go maybe a little bit more these next few days. Then maybe on the weekend we'll get to a spot where we'll start, dropping it or letting it stay level. I just feared if I left it at 710, you lose all the snowpack. I know most every spring I'll get the rain, but I just thought it was more responsible to use some of this to get start built back up and not let it stay too low. I know there is some ice on the lake. It's not my goal to let it go to 712, get a rain and a south wind. I'm watching the forecast. I'm not seeing anything these next 3 or 4 days that would do any of that. So that's kind of the thought process I used in what we've done the last 4 or 5 days. I'm sure there's some questions and some concerns, so I'm here to listen and if anybody's got any.
What sort of community feedback have you gotten so far since you've
just a couple emails this morning worried about the rate of rise. They've seen it gone from 709, 60 to almost 711 in 5 days. But like I said, that was taking pretty much all the snowpack you had out of the watershed, taking everything that was frozen up and loosened up. We're only bringing in 200 CFS at Moravia. I don't think we're in any danger here in the next 3, 4, 5 days of anything fast, rapid happening that would hurt anything. I am in touch with the forecast. I watch it, National Weather Service. I do watch for wind even. Because of some ice in the lake, I don't want anybody getting piled up on this. The target is about 3.5 weeks from now is 712.50. So I'm not looking to get there in a hurry, but I would like to do it gradually, kind of like we are. And, that's kind of the game plan right now.
Anyone else?
Bruce Natalie from Planning. I'm also the county's flood hazard mitigation coordinator. And I'd just like to comment, the city's had to juggle a lot of things with the construction and very cold weather and very variable flows. We had nearly zero ice problems on the Owasco River all winter in Port Byron, very minor. So John's done a great job.
Thank you, Bruce.
Any questions?
Where do we stand with the construction?
They're doing backfill right now. They're pretty much out of the water. So it's, I can pull them out at any time. So all the in-river stuff is done. They had to be done with that by Friday anyway. So they're just doing some backfill and all that. So they're not really too much more of a concern. I would like the next few days for them to do some more backfilling if possible. We're only going up about 0.01 a day right now. We're 7.11 this morning. So even if we waited till Friday, I don't think we'd be much above 7.11, 3 or 4. So I don't... I'm not anticipating any issues at the moment. I am watching, though. Trust me. It's a daily, sometimes twice daily thing. I'm going through all the numbers and seeing what's going on and checking your forecast, not once, but a couple times a day. So I will do the best I can, but, I have no problem taking, the emails or anything like that when people are concerned. I understand that that's all part of doing this. I'm not looking to have ice pile up on anybody's property and things like that. I'm just trying to balance what I see out there, what I have to use to fill this thing back up so when people go to put their boats in docks, and we're in good shape for that too. So, okay.
Thank you for your work, John. Okay, moving forward, would anyone like to share any issues of concern?
Yeah.
Drew. This is Drew Snell with his monthly inspection report. Thank you, Drew.
And thank you, Dr. Effler. And I just want to say that it's been a real pleasure working with you thus far and orienting you to the watershed. I think having you on board is going to be a terrific asset.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to extending that invitation daily to go out and ballot. Whenever you have a chance, of course.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate the guidance, Drew. Thank you.
So, as you all are well aware, probably, and have been driving around and looking, as you all are honorary inspectors on the landscape, you've seen that the watershed has been experiencing a gradual thaw this year, which has been terrific. It means that the stream flows are gentle, and hopefully with low turbidity levels, the nutrients are staying on the landscape and not moving with the flows. So with the lower nutrient migration comes the flocks of snow geese migration. As you may have seen out on the lake, I thought this was a floating iceberg a couple of times when I was looking at the lake from higher elevations, higher topography in the landscape. If you can't see it, it's sort of centralized in the photo, where the mass of visitors have accumulated in the middle of the lake there. Again, they're snows and not Canada geese, or as Doug likes to call them, Canadian geese, right? So interesting to see these, and also interesting to hear some of the presentations at the Water Quality Symposium last week in Syracuse with some of the figures pertaining to Canada goose droppings, and the weight of those droppings per bird per day is between 2 and 4 pounds. So multiply that by tens of thousands, but then reduce that by probably a slight factor when it comes to the snow geese, because they are a smaller bird than the Canada goose. We were trying to come up with this yesterday in an estimate at Soil and Water with how much you could approximate with the level of weighted defecation, I guess you could call it, from the geese.
Must be a slow news day.
Yeah. So it was interesting to hear, though, that the Canada geese have such a weight to their fecal matter. Anyways, so I wanted to also point out in this photo something else that's illustrated here. I don't know if anyone could pick that out. And I'll give you a hint. I should not be seeing those waterfowl populations on the lake. Why? Because there's no trees along the edge of the shoreline. And unfortunately, that's the case in a lot of the northern half of the lake. Is we just need that riparian area reestablished, or that littoral area reestablished. This is at the base of Stone School Road, and it's not a huge buffer between the shoulder of the road and the lakeshore. So I thought that was a good illustration to show that there is a need out there for tree plantings, as we've talked about.
Drew, before you go forward, can I ask,
sure,
what is the substrate on the other side of that barrier on the shoreline?
It's a very steep slope down to the shoreline with some vegetation. It's hit and miss. And some spots of the shoreline do have larger woody vegetation. But again, it's sporadic, from about the Wyckoff intersection north on each side of the lake. And again, here's another vantage from the higher topography of the lake, looking down at some of the flocks that have congregated on the lake. Okay, this is going to be a little bit repetitive from our early morning meeting. This is a snow pile in Moravia that's behind the grocery store there in Moravia. And you can tell, you can kind of tell that that's a snow pile. It doesn't look like very clean snow. So we talked about this at the earlier meeting and how when this melts, you can see the drain at the base or kind of the middle of the photo right here. That's a storm drain that's providing no filtration for the runoff and the melt of this pile. So as discussed earlier, this is another opportunity in the watershed to be looking at areas where these snow piles that are obviously contaminated with something should be designated into an area that can provide filtration at some location with good soils, preferably. So this is, folks, from the earlier meeting, this is what we had talked about down in Moravia, one of many piles that are certainly contributing contaminated water into the stormwater. And again, I'm not sure if it's a combined system in Moravia or a separated system down there. Separated? Okay. Sense. Illustrating another cause for concern on some of these issues throughout the watershed. And there's another closer look, and some you can kind of get a different perspective there of how much contaminated snow was in the background. Quite a pile. Probably not something you want to eat off.
What do you suggest for the mayor to do with this?
I will see him tomorrow in the village, so I'm going to pull him and have a look at this, and we can talk about a course of action. I think certainly this occurs not only here but in Groton as well. And in some cases, like was pointed out this morning, there are times where the snowplow companies will push it right to the bank of the stream, and of course there you just don't have any buffer. And, of course, I'm still seeing the wing of the plow pushing up the sod and throwing it into to the ditch in many locations. This happens to be a familiar sight right now along some of the rural roads. The sod will lay on top of that snow, and as the snow melts, it will likely carry the soils with it, especially on steeper slopes like this one.
That'll pretty much stop in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay, and finally, I'm showing this to illustrate perhaps bad construction planning that has been done in the past in hopes of directing municipalities to rethink their planning and their approval on some of these sites. This particular dwelling is undergoing a shoreline stabilization, which should also be including a stream bank stabilization, because what they did in the past, and just before the house there is the old abandoned railroad bed, the stream heads towards the house, and you may remember me mentioning something like this occurring in Groton at the last month's meeting. Where they built in line of the trajectory of the stream. Well, here they routed it 90 to the north and outletted it further to the north of the dwelling. Well, that's all fine and good for a few years until you start seeing this downstream, and you can kind of see the chimney of the house there in the background. So the stream is beginning to chisel away at the bank that was once stabilized. And again, this was probably a constructed course for a new stream bed or course for the stream to take. And they stabilized it back in the day with some vegetation, but sure enough, it has failed and is undermining.
So I would anticipate that those trees will probably fall and redirect or plug that stream channel, and then hopefully it won't affect the dwelling, but no promises there. So things to keep in mind, you know, in your municipal planning processes. And I think that is it for my presentations and my photos. Any questions?
Drew, do you have some ideas moving forward for this sort of undercutting that's happened since construction? There was, stabilizing those banks, and at what level, then I guess the discussion should be at what level is the resident responsible, and how can we get involved?
So you bring up a great point, because along the west side is the old abandoned railroad bed, and along that entire stretch of railroad bed, there are failing infrastructure, which have been band-aided over time, with simple fixes, low cost fixes, which again will only last a certain amount of time and through a certain storm duration. So this type of thing is very difficult to access anymore, just from the nature of the new channel. It's very difficult to access. It would probably have to involve some very heavy equipment down there and a lot of expense to get in there and repair what's going on. So this is not a unique situation along the railroad bed. But if they were to repair this, it would probably end up coming. You would probably end up coming up from the lakeshore with equipment and moving up through the stream channel and repairing it that way. I don't see any other way to do it with the trees on top and then destabilizing the upper part of the berm. And you're probably aware of a whole sleuth of locations like this along those towns that have land along the old abandoned railroad bed. And I think, Ken, you're well aware of that as well, where your property is affected by an old railroad bed culvert. So it's another emerging and ongoing issue that will take quite a bit of money and time to repair and replace.
Yeah, but Drew, is the fix for this to put in a new concrete sluice or rock line some distance up through? What's the fix now that it's the way it is?
I would say that would be up to an engineer because of the threat to the dwelling. Yeah, on how to remedy that. Yeah, I wouldn't get into suggestions there because it would be liability issues. So I'll leave it up to the engineering to figure that out. Which is another, budget item long term for requests of funds to get engineering on a lot of these issues that are affecting dwellings and infrastructure.
True. If I may, I'd just like to bounce back to the snow pile contamination.
Sure.
And I just wanted to mention that I think that there can be a perspective here whereby these snow piles can be an opportunity, whereas, seasonally, spring through fall, sediments and petroleum products, those sorts of things readily run off the land. Whereas with the snow, it is in fact contained more so through the winter. But then the issue is then how do we move it to a place where, like you said, it can be filtered. So I see that the snow piles, in terms of capturing pollution, could be perceived as an opportunity as long as we find a place to put it.
Yeah, suitable place, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. And preferably not a wetland.
Indeed.
Because yeah. That has happened down in Moravia. They're surrounded by wetlands, and we found where there's been piles situated adjacent to the wetlands. you know, probably thinking that that was going to be the filtration mechanism for those piles.
So what do you suggest where it goes?
Well, so I'll go back to my days up in Lake Champlain where Lake Placid, they were very rigorous with their stormwater remediation and their code within the village. They actually developed what they called snow fields, where they had a designated spot outside of the corporate limits of the village where they transported the snow piles, where the soils were such that it would offer filtration to whatever the snow piles contained. So they actually planned for, you know, residual petrochemicals in the snow and salts and, you know, whatever was dripping out of the cars onto the snow that was being absorbed by the snow piles. They were transporting it to a safe location, relatively flat with sand, that was offering that media for filtration. So it's something I don't think has been considered in Moravia or perhaps Groton, but something that, you know, is certainly, like we've talked about, as an opportunity.
Are these snow piles transported there, or are they pushed off the
car? I think, Charlie, this one, I think, is pushed. It's pushed off of the grocery store parking lot, so it's not something that was brought in and dumped. Yeah. Well, we talked about this at our earlier meeting and getting a sample and finding out exactly what may be. The trouble is trying to find what each snow pile contains. You know, or can we get a general census of what is in these things by doing multiple samples? You know, perhaps we could look at it from that sampling standpoint. You can kind of see, though, and I sort of pointed this out, where you can kind of see the concentrated flow path coming off the pile there and then directing down into the drain. I don't know if you caught that, but it's no treatment area, and it's semi-pervious there. So I doubt all of it's going to run in, but it's certainly, you know, one of those things where if they didn't push it far enough back, it would be right on top of it and contributing. And it would be interesting to see where that drop inlet flows to. The village is having issues with their stormwater, as you may or may not know, and some other drainage.
Does anyone have any more questions for Drew? Thank you, Drew.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Does anyone have any issues of concern that they would like to bring up? Chair? No? Okay, if that's the case, let's move forward and schedule the next meeting. It'll be the, I believe, third Tuesday, same time. Okay, so you can expect the third Tuesday of the next month. Okay. That's the 19th. Okay, April 19th. 16th. 17th. No, 16th. 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 Blair 30. That's today, the 19th.
That's okay.
So the third Tuesday of the month, the 16th of April.
Thank you.
We're going to get 10 o'clock. Okay. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And
may I
please have a motion to adjourn?
I make a move.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion approved. Have a great day, everyone.
Be careful.